This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a beautiful day to be together in the house of God, to be connected by the Spirit over live stream, and it's my joy to welcome all of you who are present in this time to worship together. If this is your first time worshiping with us, or maybe the first time to be here in a while, we are in the middle of a worship series where we're focusing on the vows of membership of the church, where we promise to strengthen the ministries of the church through our prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. And this morning we're focusing on our presence. And one of the practices that we do that reminds us of the importance of our presence is registering our attendance every Sunday. If you are here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row. If you would sign those and let us know that you're here. And if you're worshiping with us online, there should be a link that you can click on where you can register. And that says to all of us that I'm here, I'm fully present for this time of worship. If you're visiting with us and perhaps looking for a place to call your church home, we'd love for you to share a mailing address or an email address with us, and that will give us the opportunity to reach out to you and continue the conversation. One of the things that we've seen through this registration of attendance over the past 2 years of pandemic is that we worship with folks from all over the world. Those who are here in the sanctuary, every Sunday we have people who are visiting Nashville from different states who get up and go to church on Sunday morning in a new town. We have people worshiping online from as far away as Alaska. I even got an email from someone in Australia who enjoys worshiping with us. So let us be mindful of the way the Spirit connects us in so many ways as we worship together. To remind us of that, as you leave, there are baskets at the door in the narthex and the door out this way. They have little pieces of red yarn, and we invite you at the end of the service to take one of these with you. Put it in your pocket or tie it around your backpack as a sign that we've been present together in worship and that we take the presence of the family of God with us as we go out into the world and try to love our neighbors. Let's see what other announcements we have. Next week, we'll be talking about gifts. We strengthen the ministries of the church through our giving. And to sort of live that out, we are hoping to raise money for Habitat for Humanity. Our commitment this year as a congregation is $15,000 for Habitat. So we are hoping and praying that on the 15th of May, we can raise $15,000. So be praying now about your giving if you're able to do that. And if we don't quite reach that goal next Sunday, we'll get there by the time our commitment is due. But maybe we can do it next Sunday. I wanted to let you know that at the 8:45 service, we celebrated the confirmation of 12 young people in our congregation. We have 12 new members of the church, and it was a beautiful service, and I invite you to be in prayer for them and with them as they join us on our journey of faith. And then at the end of this service, we're going to have an opportunity to say a prayer of blessing for our beloved Reverend Erin Racine, who will be leaving us tomorrow for 3 months of renewal leave, but she's coming back. But we want to bless her for this time of Sabbath rest and pray that it will be restorative for her and her family. So we'll do that at the end of the service. All the other announcements are in the bulletin or in the Friday email. We hope that you get those. As we continue to move forward in the life of faith together, we enter into this time of worship and pray that all will come upon us all as the Holy Spirit moves among us.
Oh, praise your presence among us. May we live as your followers this day and every day. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, we are freed from our captivity to sin and death. With gratitude for God's marvelous love and for all the world, let us confess our sins, confident that we will receive grace and mercy. Ever-present God, you are always with us, and we are not alone. Yet we act as ourselves. We turn away from you, and we turn away from our neighbors. We hoard our resources rather than sharing with everyone. We isolate ourselves in echo chambers rather than listening to each other, even when we disagree. We hide away parts of who we are in fear of judgment or shame, rather than offering our whole selves, imperfect and beautiful. We follow the latest trends rather than follow you. Forgive us, we pray. Free us to live as your disciples, to love our neighbors, and to show up just as we are. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. If you're watching with us online, you can do that through the chat. If you're here with us in sanctuary, you may greet those around you in whatever way feels most comfortable. The peace of Christ be with you. Oh, we've got a song.
Thank you.
One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Peyton and Emma Bradford bring their son to God before the community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Peyton and Emma, I ask you now on behalf of the whole church these ancient questions of the faith, the questions that our confirmands answered this morning as they profess their faith. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say, I do. And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, will you say, I will? And my friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness, that he may grow in service with others. We will pray for him to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
And what name have you given your son?
Wyatt Forder Bradford.
Wyatt Forder Bradford. I baptize you in the name of God, the Father who created you, Christ, the Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit who fills you and comforts you all the days of your life. Amen. You can play with that one. And now all of us are going to pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. All those who are here with you and in your church family, let us pray. Wyatt Forder, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. Okay, now I have to put this back. I'm sorry. And now we're going to invite you and your family to move to the center so all of your church family here in the sanctuary and those worshiping online can see you a little more closely as we make our promises to you.
Will the congregation please rise and face Wyatt Forder? Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Wyatt Forder to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Wyatt Forder, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Will you pray with me? Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, may hear with joy what you say to us today. A lesson from the New Testament, Acts 2, 37 to 47. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord God calls to him." And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and prayers. Awe came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. And all who believed were together, and had all things in common. And they would sell their possessions and goods, and distribute the proceeds to all, as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
invite all the grown-ups to be seated. I think all of our children were at 8:45. We had a ton of kids at 8:45. Do we have any children here today? Oh, is that CJ coming down? Yay! You can keep me company up here. Any other children, come on up. And if you're joining us from home online, just get a little closer to your screen and we'll be happy to be, come on up. Nice to see you this morning. Oh, wow. Look at this. This is wonderful. Well, have a seat. I'm so glad to see you this morning. Good morning, good morning. Well, what I'm wearing here is called a stole. And we have stoles. Those of us who are your pastors, we wear them on Sunday mornings. And this is my favorite stole. This was given to me when I first came to West End 5 years ago. And all of the children, well, maybe not all of them, but a lot of the children in the church stuck their hands in colorful paint and put it on the stole so that I would always remember that I'm part of a big, loving church family. One of the things I love about the church is that we can have a big family, that not just our little family that maybe we share a house with, but we have a huge family all right here. And this morning at the 8:45 service, we had 12 sixth graders who were confirmed. They became members of the church, and each one of them had a friend in faith, someone from this church who's not in their family, but who loves them and is excited to teach them about God's love. And that's what we all do for each other in the family of God. We follow Jesus together, and we help each other love better. You help me love better, and I hope that I can help you love better too, because that's who we're called to be as the church. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for the gift of the church, that you give us friends, people to surround us with your love, and that you give us the chance to love too. We thank you for all of the people who are with us today and pray that we can be an example of love in the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank y'all so much. If you are 3, 4, or 5, you can go to Children's Church with Pastor Maggie. And she has someone meeting her there in the chapel to help you guys. Or if you would rather go back and sit with parents or friends, you can do that too. I love that spiritual we just sang, Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. There's another spiritual that you may know called There is a Balm in Gilead. Now, if you were in church last week or worshiping with us online, you may have sung that spiritual during communion. We sang it together. The third verse of that spiritual has been in my heart and in my mind all week. You remember how it goes? If you can't preach like Peter, if you can't pray like Paul. That's been on my mind because in this second chapter of Acts, we hear Peter preach his first sermon. Now, we've missed most of it. The text started at the end of the large part of his sermon. But Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost, after all of the followers of Jesus, all 120 of them, have been filled with the Holy Spirit. And there's a huge crowd of people in Jerusalem that gathers to see what's going on. And what's a person to do but stand up and start preaching? And so he does. And he starts telling about the love of God that has been made known in Jesus of Nazareth, how Jesus was crucified and on the third day rose again. And as the crowd was listening, there were 3,000 people who were cut to the heart by his message and who came to the apostles and said, what should we do? And they said, be baptized and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peter's first sermon, 3,000 people are baptized. Now that's some preaching. I've never preached a sermon that was quite that effective. But Peter is off and running and the church is born. What's beautiful to me about this text, though, is that it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop with 3,000 people being baptized. There's more to the story. What comes next? The people gather. The people form a community of faith. The text tells us that they devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles. They broke bread together. They prayed together and joined in fellowship. They could be found every day worshiping God in the temple, going from house to house and breaking bread together, sharing all of their possessions together so that no one among them would have any need. And day by day, God added to their number. What we have here, my friends, is the birth of the church. And the very clear evidence that when the Holy Spirit moves, community is born. What we have here is the first time in the New Testament that we see the word koinonia. Maybe you've heard that Greek word before. Koinonia, it's hard to translate into English. It's something far beyond just fellowship. What's created in this moment is not just a gathering of people, not just a social gathering, but a dedicated community grounded in the love and grace of Christ with a level of trust that allows them to share life together, to share their possessions together, to worship and pray and grow together. The church is God's unique gift to the world, a sign of God's kingdom right here among us. There is no other place on earth, no other group on earth that is like the church, that crosses generations and crosses political differences and life experiences and race and class and all of the labels that we see and experience out in the world. It unites us all in grace and love. And we are part of that. This text reminds us that it's a necessary part of our life with Christ. We cannot follow Jesus by ourselves. It is an oxymoron to say solo Christian. To be a follower of Jesus means that we are a we. It is us. Now, of course, there's a personal aspect to our faith. When our confirmands came forward at 8:45, they had made and prayed about the individual choice to become members of the church, to say, yes, I want to follow Christ. But in that same moment, they're also saying, yes, and I want to do it with these people. I want to join in the journey of faith with these companions in Christ. We can't do it alone. John Wesley understood that. Now, at the 8:45, I looked at the confirmands and I said, now, y'all learned about John Wesley, right? But now I'm going to look at you. Y'all know about John Wesley, right? If you don't, John Wesley was the founder of the Methodist movement. He was an Anglican priest in England. He never meant to start a new denomination. What he hoped to do was deepen the faith of those who were already in the Anglican church, to bring vitality to the life and faith of the church that he was part of. Now, he did break the rules of the church. He went out and preached out in the open, and there were times when he was preaching to thousands of people, just like Peter in our text for today. And there were times when a lot of people came forward and wanted to follow Christ or wanted to follow him more deeply. And what did John Wesley do? He didn't just say, well, I'll baptize you and good luck with that and leave town. No, he created community. He established societies, large groups of people who wanted to commit to the Methodist way, and divided those up into even smaller groups so that every week a Methodist would come to gather with a small group and talk about, how is it with your soul? Where else can we answer that question with one another than in the church? Where else do you have in your life when you can sit down with other followers of Christ and say, my soul is troubled today, or my soul is rejoicing today? Where else can we come and share life with people of all ages, nations, and races, and languages, and experiences, and grow in faith and love together? John Wesley believed that the community of faith was a means of grace in our lives to help us learn how to love God better, how to love our neighbors better, how to love ourselves more completely. And so we have as one of our membership vows this promise that we make that we will strengthen the ministries of the church by our presence, that we'll show up to the community and for the community. We ask that of those confirmands this morning, and we look for that in one another. Is there a place in your life, if you are part of this congregation, is there a place in this congregation where you feel you can share how it is with your soul? I hope so. And if not, we want to talk with you about how we can help that happen. There are Sunday school classes and Bible studies and small groups and dinner groups and just informal groups of friends who gather regularly, not just to eat together or socialize or go to movies or do fun things, but to talk about how it is with your soul. This is the kind of church we are called to be and that I hope we can be for each and every one of you. One of my favorite verses in this text this morning says that awe came upon them all as they saw the signs and wonders that God was doing in their midst. You never know what God is going to do when you show up. There are Sunday mornings when, I mean, it's my job, so I have to get out of bed and not have that second cup of coffee and come to church. But it never fails that once I get here, there is someone I get to interact with who says something that blesses me, something I needed to hear, or a phrase in a hymn, or something the choir sings that is a word from God that blesses me. I hope the same is true for you. And you never know that the fact that you showed up made a difference to someone else. Maybe you were the smile and the welcome that that first-time visitor needed to feel like they were in a place they could belong. Or maybe you were in a conversation that gave someone the chance to share how it was with their soul. We are called to be present with one another. Now, one of the things we've learned over these past 2 years is there are a lot of ways to be present. We have members of our church who cannot be present physically because of health or geography. We have friends who join us every week in worship from different states, and they participate in Bible studies over Zoom or Sunday school classes. There are ways to share life together, even on a computer. But we have to be present and show up for those opportunities. And so the invitation I hear from this text and from our membership vows is that invitation to renew our commitment to be present. You never know what's going to happen when the community of faith gathers. But there's no doubt about it that God will do signs and wonders that will bring awe to us all. Thanks be to God.
Would you rise in body or in spirit and join me as we affirm our faith together? This affirmation of faith was written by our confirmation class this year. We believe God is the only God who created life, who protects us and guides us through life, and who loves everyone unconditionally. We believe Jesus is God's only Son, who was a teacher, a healer, and a miracle worker who helped others know God and who sacrificed himself for all. We believe the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity, the spiritual version of God who helps guide us. We believe following Jesus means loving our neighbors, doing justice, walking with God, trusting Jesus, and helping in his plan. We believe God calls us to serve others by using our gifts and loving everyone no matter what. We believe grace is a gift from God, where God forgives us and loves us. We offer grace to others. We believe the Bible is a book that tells the story of God and God's people, and that helps us answer questions and have a relationship with God. We believe worship is our service to God, mentally, physically, and emotionally. And worship is where we pray, sing, praise God, and read scripture individually and communally. We believe baptism cleanses us from sin and marks us as children of God. And Holy Communion remembers the Last Supper and Jesus' gift of his body. We believe the church is people who come together in a peaceful, sacred, open-minded, comfortable, and supportive place that is and feels like God's home. Amen. Please be seated. As we come to our prayer time this morning, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, you can follow the link under Contact Us on our website, or if you're here with us in the sanctuary, there are gray cards in the pew racks in front of you. You can place those in the offering plates as they go down the pews in a few moments. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Awe-inspiring God, as we breathe in and as we breathe out, we recognize that you are as close to us as our very breath. We give you thanks that, like a mother hen, you gather us together under your wings. We give you thanks for this community of faith and for those gathered throughout the world where your people can be known and loved and nurtured in the faith. And on this day in particular, we give you thanks for the women in our lives who have cared for us, nurtured us, and guided us. This morning, we lift up all who are struggling in body or mind or spirit. We remember especially those who are isolated, those who are lonely, and those who feel far from you. Comfort your people, O God. Bring healing and wholeness. Bring health and safety to all your people, and grant them your peace. May they encounter in your loving presence and in the presence of others your love. And may you help us to be mindful of those who are in need of our love and care each day. All of our prayers, whether spoken aloud or held in our hearts, we offer to you in the name of Jesus, the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to give our tithes and offerings this morning, we recognize that everyone is in a different financial situation. So that we might continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world, we invite you to give as you are able and as you feel led. For those of you worshiping with us online, you're welcome to give via the options on the screen. And those here in the sanctuary, the pews, the offering plates will be passed in a few moments. Let us now offer our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings to our to our loving God, the one who loves us unconditionally.
invite anyone who would like to come forward to join us here. We have two of our colleagues are in Children's Chapel, but wanted to have some representation from your friends on the staff. Reverend Aaron Racine is, as of this afternoon, or 12:01, going on a three-month renewal leave. She has been here at West End for 7 years, and prior to that, at Brentwood United Methodist Church for several years, and this is the kind of life and ministry that invites us to Sabbath and to practice rest. And this is what she will be doing alongside her husband Dave and son Miles. Well, they'll continue to work and go to school, but this is a tremendous gift that the Staff Parish Committee of our church has given to Aaron, the gift that our United Methodist Church gives to us. It's part of our practice as a denomination to offer this to pastors. And so I wanted to just take a moment for us to pray together for Aaron, a prayer of blessing to send her into this season of rest and renewal with our blessing and our love. So I'm going to invite Aaron to kneel at the altar rail. And Stacy and I, on behalf of the rest of the staff and on behalf of the whole congregation, will lay hands on her as we pray. Let us pray. Gracious God, when you created the earth, you also created the Sabbath. Even you, as the creator of the universe, took time for stillness and rest, and you invite your creation to do the same. You invite us as your people to practice regularly the Sabbath rest. And so after 7 years of full-time service in and among us in this congregation at West End, we have the joy of celebrating a season of rest for Aaron. We ask that you would bless her with good rest, that you would restore her spirit, give her a chance to experience joy and fun and renewal, that she may return to us in 3 months' time, filled with the Holy Spirit and ready to lead us once again in the ministry of the gospel. May she feel our presence, our prayers, and our blessings over these next weeks. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. And Aaron will be at the back door with me to give you a chance to send her on her way with blessings. And now let us stand together as we are able and join in our closing hymn. as we leave this time of worship today, those of you in the sanctuary, remember to get a little piece of the red yarn to remind you of the joy of the presence of the Holy Spirit in one another that we have experienced, and to remind us that as we go into this world, we do not go alone. We have the company of the family of God with us, and most of all, we have the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen.